Hi everyone, welcome back to my podcast channel. Today's episode, I have a special guest. One of my good friends, his name is Jordan, and we will be talking about traveling while Black, and what exactly does that mean, and just Black travel. So you're listening to my series, Welcome to the Winner's Circle. Hi Jordan, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Good, thank you. Thank you for being on this episode and joining
Thanks
in.
For inviting me.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
No problem. So I know one of the things that I'm always interested in when it comes to what you're doing in regards to travel is you go to Ghana. I feel like it's either once a year or twice a year, but every year. And you kind of, in a sense, give back to the community in various ways. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that. Your travel company, just what it feels like when you travel back to Ghana, and just your opinion on travel in general as a Black man. So let's kind of get started. What got you into traveling? How did you realize traveling was something that was, you know, something you were interested in?
Okay, well, a little bit about me, just real quick. I'm a registered nurse from Philadelphia. So I've been traveling since maybe since I was 18 or so. But nothing really brought me into traveling. I just always had a sense of an adventure and a sense for the unknown. So that kind of just piqued my interest. So I was always researching where do I want to go in the future? What do I want to do? And I kind of had to make my own way because I didn't really know anybody in the Black community or my age or older that actually traveled, you know?
Okay. And so with nursing and traveling, I feel like this, you want to talk about a little bit how this kind of got you started to developing your own travel company? And you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So when I first went to Ghana, I went through a company called Work the World, and they take nurses and doctoral students over to different countries that need help. So when I went to Ghana, it was 2014, and I traveled by myself. I told my parents I wanted to go, and they allowed me to just travel solo. And this is my first time out of the country. So I'm in Ghana, and I'm kind of learning the culture. And they placed me in a emergency room and a couple other wards. So I was there for a whole month just working under the Ghanaian doctors and nurses. And what I was seeing there kind of really opened my eyes to what needs to be improved. So that's what kind of piqued my interest. And I also made so many friends when traveling over there.
Can you talk about briefly what was it that you saw that you felt needed to be improved?
Okay, yeah. Experience? So just the resources in the healthcare field. Don't get me wrong. Africa, I don't like to talk bad about Africa, but Africa has a lot of good things going for them. And they're really up and coming. And it's a beautiful paradise, I'd say. But they need improvement with the healthcare sector. So, for instance, just general treatment, insurance. When I've never seen more people pass away in Ghana than I have in America working in the health field. And I was only there for a month. So they have a lot of motor vehicle accidents. I was at the scene of a couple of accidents, and I've never seen an ambulance drive by. You know what I mean? We kind of, it's kind of like the community tries to help that one person.
Okay.
Same thing for like surgeries. There's just not a lot of resources, especially in the countryside, the rural community. So I'm just trying to build that sector up a little bit.
Okay. So this kind of led you to kind of form your own travel company or your own travel group, and it's IASO Volunteers. And so what does that stand for? Anything? Is it an acronym for anything, or is that a Ghanaian word, or what does IASO mean?
IASO is the Greek goddess of healing, And it's also an acronym for Interactive Aid and Support Organization. So interactive being, I want my traveling group to interact with the Ghanaian culture, the people, and get that experience. Aid and support, kind of like aid and support as having the Ghanaians kind of show me what I can help them do. I'm not trying to force anything on them. And then the organization, yeah. So IESA Volunteers, I started with a good friend of mine, Kiana, and unfortunately, we weren't able to travel this March because of COVID, but we're still prepping for next year.
Okay, good. I know personally too. I remember for I think the past year or so, I was trying to make a way to come and be part of this as well. I was definitely attracted to it because I saw a lot of the community service works that were happening. And for me, I feel like it's very important, especially when it comes to children and just having a solid foundation for children. So even if that means, helping to facilitate or start up an after-school program or something of that nature, that was something that stood out to me. And so I know I never was able to make it because of my schedule and everything, the timing of everything. But I know that's one of the things that I definitely was trying to work out so I could, come and attend one time. Okay. And so why did you start it? Like, what made you sit down and say, like, okay, you were in Ghana, you were helping out in the hospitals, and you saw where there was a lack of, and did you feel like this is what propelled you to want to start this volunteer group, or was it something else in addition to that?
Yeah, first I wanted to bring over other African Americans, any minority to visit Africa. So like I know that you're a great teacher and you work in the administration for schools, and I know that it would pique your interest. So when I was visiting the schools, half of the class was outside, even if it was raining, bugs, storms, their classroom is outside and they have a chalkboard. And it's kind of sad because I know the resources that we have, you know what I mean? We're really blessed with what we have. So I think there's a lot of opportunities for people like yourself to give back and to volunteer and to give advice on what to do since I'm not in that sector. So a couple of things with the schools, they needed a roof on one of them, and through the volunteer group, I was going to put most of the proceeds to building the roof, which we already started back in January. Yeah, so it's basically anybody that wants to travel, anybody that wants to use their passion to help out in Ghana, there's an opportunity. I have a friend that's a yoga instructor, and I'm sure that there's kids that would love to learn yoga, learn meditation and things like that.
So in a sense, you were bridging the gap in kind of all areas across the scope. It was through school administration stuff, in the classroom stuff for school. I know it was in the healthcare sector, health clinics, doing testing for certain things or maybe vaccinations for certain things. Also too, I've noticed that you use it as bridging the gap to give an experience to people who don't have the opportunity. So a lot of people, when they travel out of the country, they kind of automatically say like, oh, I'm going on a vacation to sit on the beach and just relax all day. And they're not really thinking about what else could you get from this? What could you learn from this trip, whether it be from the place you're going to, and the people that you'll come across and cross paths with. And this, the IASO Volunteers, it offers that. You have an experience that you can really learn from and really get some knowledge. You can take a part in an action and participate in different things and volunteer. But at the same time, you can also relax and enjoy yourself and enjoy where you are, where you're visiting, in whatever city you're in Ghana. I noticed too that, with this, the IASO Volunteer, you were able to make a business opportunity in a sense and bridging the gap in that way. So straight from Ghana back here. And that's very significant and important, especially in the Black community, because we're always talking about ways to bridge the gap with our brothers and sisters on the continent. And how can we do that without kind of getting the middleman in there? You know, the middleman being like huge corporations and companies who then just add in chemicals to certain things, or it just all of a sudden becomes so businessy like that it really loses the heart and the emotion behind it. Can you talk a little bit about your business opportunities that you've created from Ghana?
Yeah, well, with bridging the gap, it like I kind of always focus on business usually, but when I talk to other people around my community, when I mean bridging the gap, I mean like kind of make it more of a friendship and more family and more of a connection with our brothers and sisters in Africa. So yeah, like with the whole cultural thing in Africa, when you go over there, well, I'll ask you, like, your most important times when you're on vacation or when you're traveling, it most likely is experiencing the culture and interacting with the people, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I also like to kind of see the differences of, you know, just summing it up as an American, just how we're comfortable as Americans for certain things and versus how in other countries it's not exactly the same, or there's a different perspective, but for the same thing. So I kind of, and even just traveling within the States too, no matter, everywhere has got a different history, a different culture of its own. Whether it's a big town you're going to or a small town or what have you. But I do like to, the one of the things I like to take away from my travels is about the people wherever I'm visiting. What are the people like? And, you know, sometimes what story do they have to tell? So that, yeah, that's something for me. I know with you, you do the shea butters and you do the black soaps. That comes straight from Ghana. And I thought that was really nice because that it kind of is a way to connect with them on another level. So you're doing it, you know, with the healthcare, you're doing it with school, whether it's administration or in the classroom, you're doing it with other community service projects out there, whether it's community gardens or volunteering and different things like that. And so now you have it where you are able to bring a piece of it back with you and share that with everyone here. Or even if someone is interested to want to do that with you, they can. So you've brought back like the shea butter and the black soap. And that's a nice direct connection. I've gotten the shea butter from you and I like it.
Appreciate
I remember I had ordered two of them from you and I had really liked it. And I could tell the difference of just what you get in the store that is from like a big company that does everything in like a lab and have like scientists behind them and all these different things, versus just the kind of the real thing, and its natural form or the least manipulation and how that feels on your skin and just even the smell of it. You know, the smell of it is even different. Let's
Yeah,
see. So,
with the shea butter, I don't know how I got into selling shea butter. It's just kind of like I've always wanted to work for myself. My end goal is to be an entrepreneur and to make my own money, not have somebody over me. So I guess I wanted to
right.
just attempt sales, and the shea butter, it sells like nothing else. You know, you like it, like
Right.
soap, it works good. It's good for our skin. And I
Right.
also got the chance to hire Ghanaians to send it over, make it, and everybody can profit off of it. So it's a win-win.
Yeah, that's a really good connection to have. And again, like it cuts out the middleman, which is important. So it's literally money, black dollars circulating between each other, really. And that's it. And that's important, especially as, I mean, for years we've been trying to do this and really build like our own black quote unquote utopia, but just, you know, reiterating the importance and the strength of a black dollar. And just if we had a lot of businesses doing that where it's directly from here in the States, in America, to the motherland, and money going directly from this black hand to that black hand, and just keep it going and circulating. It is important. I mean, we're seeing that now when it comes to music, when it comes to different music that artists are releasing. That's another way that the public is bridging the gap through the music, and a lot of collaborations. And then you're seeing that also now with style, with clothing and shoes and other things of that nature. Just you're directly buying from the source, and not necessarily having it go through like a big company or, a mass production kind of thing. And so when you are buying these things, you are giving back to your brother and sister. So I want to kind of segue into talking about traveling in the Black community and what it means to travel while Black. I know for me, when I'm traveling, I mean, I haven't been able to because of COVID, but I'm not a seasoned traveler, but I have been to a number of different places, and I've been able to gather quite a number of experiences that I'm grateful for. So I know for me, when it comes to traveling, especially being a Black female, I'm always thinking in the back of my mind, this looks like a great place to visit, but at the same time, is it safe for me? Is it safe for me as a female? Is it safe for me as a Black female? I find myself, sometimes researching, what are the people who frequent there, and just, what is it like there for a Black individual? What is the Black experience going to be if you go to this particular place? You probably wouldn't go to, rural parts of the country, and I'll pick a spot in like West Virginia because it just may not be accepting of Black folks, at this day and age. And you might know, what? I'm not going to do a camping trip out there. But if I take a little trip to, somewhere else in North Carolina or maybe Georgia or even Tennessee, maybe I might want to do a camping trip there because it might be a little safer for me as a Black individual. What does it mean to you when you travel? Like when you hear that statement, traveling while Black, what does it mean to you?
Well, with the safety thing, I've always felt more safe in a different country than, the United States. I've always felt safer outside of where I live.
I have too. When I left the country, I felt like I'm good. And when I
Yeah.
came back, and when I came back, it just automatically, I just felt the tension. It was very weird.
Yeah, I can imagine just 200 years ago, we were not able to travel anywhere and feel safe. You know what I mean?
Right,
So,
exactly.
when I travel, like say I travel upstate Pennsylvania, or like you said, different parts of West Virginia, and you see those the Trump flags and the Confederate flags, it's uneasy for us Black travelers. It really is, and you don't know what's going to happen with these lynchings. It's just scary, especially as a Black female, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely.
So I always
Definitely.
try to pick and choose where I want to travel, especially if I'm by myself. Most of the time I travel by myself because we always run into our friends and family that can't make it. So, I'm like, that's not going to stop me. It's not going to stop me from any else because my best experience has been solo vacations, solo trips. So when I do
Right,
travel,
that's happened
I
to
do
me.
try to plan it out a little bit. I don't try to make everything so strict, but when I travel Black, I want to make sure that the area hasn't had any incidents in the past like 6 months or so, year. Just little things like that. I even try to connect with people over Facebook and Instagram and try to reach out to them to see if I can make friendships before I get there. And maybe they can give me a heads up of what's going on. I've done that a couple times. I've been to Thailand and I literally just hashtag Thailand, Bangkok, and kind of try to connect with people over Instagram before I got there to get a little feel of what's going on. And that's what we have to do as Black people sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when you went to Thailand, and I thought that was cool. That was the summer I was trying to go, and then it just didn't work out. So I never made it. And then I saw you were going, and I was like, oh my God, tell me how it
You're gonna
is.
come to Africa next year, though, for sure.
Yes, but first and foremost, yeah, on my list, I definitely do want to partake in the IASO Vaughan tours, because I'm very much interested in that school help in any capacity, really. Yeah, I was going to say, when I did international travel back in 2017, I went to Europe. So I went to Belgium and I went to France. And, Europe is such a hub. It's very multicultural. Just the experience of being in the airports, you're listening to people speak at the least three different languages, which is very cool. And everybody is just very, I don't want to say chill, but everybody's kind of just chill, doing what they got to do.
Did you
And
ever feel
just
uneasy
kind
in London and around Europe at all?
No. So one of the things is, I know that, France, and I know Belgium, most everywhere has got its racist parts. But when I was in Belgium, I was in Brussels. And then when I was in France, I was in Paris. And I did not feel any racial tension. Not to say that they've never had, incidents happen, but I've never felt that vibe or that energy when I was there the whole time. A lot of what I saw was the American Black culture when it, in regards to like our trap music, was really big and popular over there in the white community. So for me, it was funny because when I did go out to a bar and to just hang out, they would play the latest trap music that's popular here in the States. But you would see white people dancing to trap music, which, thinking about that here in the States, you're like, that's not a usual occurrence. So it looked a little funny to me, but I noticed that over there, things were done in a stance of what's hip and what's popular versus not so much of what's popular and associating it with your skin color. But it was very different. The vibe was very different. I don't know if it's different because I was a female, but I was definitely, I'll say, accepted. Pretty much everywhere I went, everyone had manners for me. I never felt as if I was being, unfairly treated. And
What's your
for the most part, I mean, I barely speak French. I'm better at reading it, not so much at conversing. And so, with Belgium, they speak Dutch, French, and English. And then in France, they speak just French. And so for me, the language thing was a not a barrier, but it was a little bit of a challenge. And I noticed that when I was in Brussels, when it's funny, when the waitress would see me struggling to speak French, and I would kind of automatically just go to English because English is my native language. She would just automatically switch. And so it was like, okay, I'm trying to make you feel comfortable versus, and when I was in Paris and France, it was just like, you just got to speak French. But I definitely didn't feel any racial tension, bad vibes, or bad energy when it came to that. And I felt it though when I did return to the States, and just instantly coming off of the plane and going through customs in the airport and then getting into the airport, it just was a different energy. The security had guns on them, like, big machine guns on them, and it just felt different. Their presence was different. The vibe was different. So I totally agree that, when you go international, it's kind of like you're accepted in a sense more as a Black individual.
Yeah, and then in reference to being accepted, like a lot of people have this negative perception on Africa, how Africans don't like Americans, and that's just totally not true. You know what I mean? And I had to learn for myself, it's because of the media kind of portrays Africa as this and that. And when I say like I felt like family when I landed in Ghana, and they knew I was a foreigner, and they just embraced us. Like I don't know what to compare it to. I've never been to a black college, but seeing black faces and nothing but black faces is just a whole different feel, and it's just wonderful.
That's really nice. Yeah, when I was in Brussels and in Paris, a lot of the Africans who were in Brussels were either from Rwanda or the Congo. And I went to Matonge, which is a predominantly Congolese or Rwandan neighborhood. And instantly, when I was just there walking around, everybody was just so nice to me, saying hi, walking down the street. I went to a hair shop and I got my hair done, and the ladies were just very chatty. Of course, I mean, they had a younger girl translating for us because my French was not that fluent. But it was just the idea of them, like when I walked into the hair shop, instantly they greeted me. They just said, you know, how are you? And when they knew that I was from an Amer you know, from here in the States, in Brooklyn, New York, it was just like, oh my God, how's your family? Tell us about your grandparents. Like instantly they wanted to know like your roots and your history.
Exactly.
And I think just from the conversation with them is something that we're missing as Black Americans here in the States. We don't have that. Whereas they do, and they can always say, like, yeah, I'm here in Brussels, but my grandparents or my great grandparents, they're still, you know, back in the Congo or back in Rwanda, and this is the family who I originate from. So it's very important to them. But you definitely do feel that sense of welcoming and that you are like a family member. I mean, really like a family member, even though you are complete strangers. They're very welcoming and open to you.
Yeah, and you're from New York and I'm from Philadelphia, and it's like the opposite vibe. Like, even as Black Americans,
Right.
we're kind of, mean mugging each other. We don't talk to each other. And in other countries, it's the total opposite. They, when they say morning, how you
Right.
doing? They actually want to know how your morning is going. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly. Yeah, very here too. In Brooklyn, it's, you know, they're not asking you. I mean, literally, if you say hi to somebody on the street, they're looking at you like, why are you talking to me? I don't know you. You know what I
Like, what do you
mean?
want?
So, right. Or like, oh, you must be crazy. Or you're trying to get my number or something? Like, no. So it's always like a skeptical kind of reaction here in the States. But definitely, yeah, outside of the States, it is definitely more of they just want to talk to you for a minute. And then be on your way. You don't even have to sit there and chat with them all day, but it's just the fact of them acknowledging you, conversing with you for a little bit. Maybe that's just feeling you out, getting feelers for you, but it's still important. And it really does set the tone of just how that whole energy is wherever you're at. So we talked about, you know, the experiences internationally as Black female, and as a Black male, do you think that if you never went on that trip, I think you said it was in 2014, do you think that you would still want to travel?
Oh yeah,
And what do you
100%.
feel is the significance? Okay. And so what do you feel is the significance of travel in the Black community?
I think I definitely would go even if I didn't go in 2014. I felt like I just had that commitment, like, all right, nothing's gonna stop me. I wanna explore everywhere I can. And experience is worth more than anything. We all have these lives to live, and we get caught up in our 9 to 5 and our jobs, but we forget to experience literally everything. You know what I mean? So
Right.
I think travel is one of the most important things you can do. That's literally a whole
Right.
experience every second that you're traveling, especially in a new area or place. And I'm not knocking
Right.
people that don't travel. It's okay. Like, not everybody, it's not for everybody. But
Right.
sometimes Black Americans, we don't have the confidence, or we don't think we can travel. You know what I mean? We're still
Right.
in that mindset that we can't do. It's kind of like a big obstacle when it's really not that big of an obstacle. In 2014, I didn't have any money. I didn't have like a great job, but I kind of just saved up and made it
Right.
happen, and it led to
Right.
me being an entrepreneur from it. You know what I mean? So it can lead
Right.
to so many
Right.
different things, so many friendships, new family members, and all that. So traveling is
Right.
number one.
Yeah, I agree with you. Whether you travel internationally or whether you travel in the States, I think it is significant in the Black community and for, younger Blacks growing up to know that you have a whole world to explore. Even if you happen to not ever leave the North American continent, you still have some countries to explore on this continent. But however, just expanding your mind, because a lot of your learning is through experiences. And if you stay in your little box or your same neighborhood your whole life, you are limiting the experiences you can have and the people that you may cross paths with and possibly opportunities that you can have. So
And I
I
say
do feel like
even,
it is important.
yeah, even the people that don't travel a lot, I've always done small trips where I'll pick out an Airbnb for $50, and just travel to, maybe 3, 4 hours away and get an experience in a different town. You don't have to do internationally right away. It's a big step.
Right, definitely. Yeah, I agree too. And I think too, I think now Black travel is on the rise, and a lot more Black people have been getting into it over the past, I want to say the past decade now, and some people have made just a living about it. But I will say it is important for the next generation coming up to see that there are many different perspectives of us as a people, and you have to kind of venture out to see what they are
Right.
and just to kind of understand who you are. I know, like, some people I hear stories about, they have a 13-year-old nephew, and because they've exposed him to traveling since, he was like about 7 or 8 years old. For his next birthday, he wasn't saying, "Hey, I just want to have a party with friends or play video games or do something just low key." His thing was like, "You know what? There's a really cool museum in this country over here or in this part of the world, and I want to learn about it. And so that's what I want to do." So I do feel like, that really opens up the mind, and I do think that is crucial. For the younger generation coming up to let them know that you can do that. And if you want to do it, it's not anything that, is foreign or weird. It's okay to think outside the box and just kind of expand your mind a little bit.
Yeah, and there's just so many negative perspectives on traveling. I've been to Colombia and people were like, why would you go there? It's so dangerous. You know what I mean? Same thing with Ghana. My mom was like, oh no, you don't need to go there. It's dangerous. And why would you say somewhere is dangerous when they have a less, a lower death rate and there's no police killings and all these things? It's just our perspective we have to change and teach the younger generation. So you're right. Yeah.
Would you say then that all Blacks should travel to the motherland at least once? Like, do you feel like it is sort of like not a rite of passage, but do you feel like every Black person should be held accountable to at least visit some country in Africa at least once in their lifetime?
I would promote it, but I wouldn't say it's, I wouldn't hold anybody accountable to doing it. Like with me, what kind of got me interested into Africa is where I never grew up with a father, so I wanted to know my roots more. So into knowing my roots, I kind of like ventured into African history. So that could be somebody's motivation to travel to a certain spot. You know what I mean? I would just say for people that want to travel whatever, interests you. You'll make it to Africa eventually, but travel what interests you first. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree as well. I do feel that I personally feel like I've never been. So I've got a list of countries from the continent. And I'm like, I gotta go to all of them. But then I'm like, when am I gonna go to all of them? Like, literally, when?
Hard.
And it's overwhelming, but in a good way, because there's so much beauty in a lot of the countries there and so much rich history that it's kind of like when you can't choose, like, when you're told to like choose the best one, and then you're like, but they're all really good. You know what I mean? So for me, that's what it feels like. And so one minute I'm like, oh, you know, I want to go to Cape Verde. And then the next minute, it's like, I want to go to the Seychelles. And then the next minute, it's like, you know what? I want to go to Mozambique. Then it's like, no, maybe Kenya because the beaches are really nice. And then it's like, well, no, maybe the Ivory Coast because I've always wanted to go to the Ivory Coast. It's just like so many things you can choose from, but it's such a rich history, no matter which country you go to. And then just geographically looking at the location of where it is, on a map on the globe, you can just almost imagine just the cultural diversity that crosses, on the continent, and just, you know, people who have settled in different regions and how that just kind of formulates the cultures that are there within each country, which is a nice thing to see with your own eyes.
So, what would be your top three places to travel now?
So now, if the world was open and if I just had money to blow and a lot of free time, I definitely would do the Seychelles for some little relaxing. Because just from looking at pictures and things of that nature, it looks very, very beautiful. And I've always been interested in Cape Verde and Morocco as well in Northern Africa. And the Ivory Coast has always been of interest to me. And since I went to Brussels and I met the nicest people who were from the Congo and Rwanda, I've kind of been like, maybe I'll go to one of those places too.
Oh yeah,
So
Rwanda's
it's
nice.
kind of a lot of, yeah, so it's kind of a lot of different places, but I do feel like the top place for me is, you know, it's hard to narrow down, but I'll probably just say, you know, Cape Verde, either Cape Verde or Morocco. So that, yeah, for me in terms of the motherland, that's something that I am working towards. So do you think that with the tour group that you have, the IASO Volunteers, do you think you would travel to other countries? I know that you guys frequent Ghana, but are there other countries that you're looking at to target to try to visit or expand to?
Yeah, I was looking into Kenya just because it's so beautiful, and I've met a couple people through Facebook that live in Kenya. So I think Kenya would be on my next place to have a tour. But I kind of want to solidify Ghana and accomplish what I want to do there. When I do the volunteer aspect, I kind of want to make it so that the people, when I leave there, the people aren't relying on me. So if I'm building any resources, I want to make sure that they're set and they're good and they know how to operate if something were to happen to me or if I stopped doing the business with them. That's a big thing with it. It's kind of like very, you have to tread lightly when you're doing volunteer work because the history behind it just isn't good, especially nonprofits. They kind of rely on the whatever environment they're in to be non-sustainable because if they're sustainable, then the nonprofit goes out of business. So it's
Yeah,
kind of
nonprofits usually survive off of,
right.
in this regard, it survives off of a lot of donations, a lot of fundraising, and those kind of different things.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily funded by the government or anything, so it is a little bit of a task to kind of keep it, you know, up and running.
And I try to want to just do the I try to want to make it the opposite of that. So it's a rough aspect to try to handle. There's so many p different opinions on volunteerism, especially when you have people that think you're just coming over to, you know, have fun and not take it seriously. But we try to make it have a balance. And I do want the schools and the healthcare system to be sustainable and to grow and to have better resources. So that's kind of our goal.
That's good. So now you said, you know, this year you weren't able to do your tour because of COVID. The whole world was on lockdown. And you said, but you're preparing for the next trip to Ghana. When is that exactly?
It's hard to say because right now, all these other countries kind of blocked the USA because we have so many cases. There's a
Right.
small list that we can actually travel out to without the 14-day quarantine. So I'm shooting for March, which is pretty much looking good. We'll see what happens, but for definitely late 2021, I'll have a couple tours readying up, and I'll send you my website, or I'll say what it is at the end of this podcast, so I can give you
Okay,
guys all the
yeah.
tour dates coming up.
Yeah, that would be great because I'm sure everyone listening, it would be a great introduction to them or something that they can kind of stick with long term. A lot of people I feel like are looking for ways to be involved, but they don't know how to be involved or at what capacity or where they want to be involved in. And this is a great opportunity, to kind of go get the feelers of what it feels like. If it's something that you want to do, you have different things in your volunteer company that you can work, different areas you can work and help with, and just to see if it's something that you're interested in and you're into. So I have to ask you, being that you've gone to Ghana quite a few different times, have you picked up any of the language or what's that been like for you?
With the language, everybody speaks English in Ghana, unless you're kind of the older generation. You might not speak English, but all the everybody our age pretty much speaks English pretty well. So they do have a lot of different languages between Fanti, Twi, and I haven't got a grasp of it because every time I go, I learn it and I forget about it. And I come back after
Right, you
relearn
gotta keep it
everything.
up.
Yeah. So there's no language barrier when I travel to Africa so far. At least I've only been to Ghana so far. Very little barrier. I've been to countries where they mainly speak Spanish and no English, and you had to translate through Google with every little sentence. So, yeah.
That's so funny.
So it's all good.
Okay. And another little fun question. Do you have any special treats that you like to eat when you're over there? Like, is there like a main treat or like a street food that's big over there that you can't find here and it's like you just gotta have it, or what's that
I
like?
like to go over there. I'm a meat eater. I know you're not. So I have a couple people coming on a trip in March, and they're like, "I'm vegan. I don't know what I'm going to eat." I'm like, "Trust me, you're going to be fine. There's more fruits and vegetables over there than you can count." So
Good.
I would say my favorite food would be red, which is beans. The goat. They have fufu, which is cassava pounded up, and they have so many different foods. It's the fish is good, tilapia, the fried fish is amazing. So it's something to experience, and the spices, yeah.
I can imagine the spices.
Yeah.
Well, I know you're not vegan or plant-based, but I'm just curious to ask, do you notice when you're there that there are vegan restaurants or vegan food options? Are people vegan over there or plant-based, or what does that look like in terms of that vegan plant-based diet?
Yeah, so there are a lot of vegan restaurants that's up and coming all around the world now. Everybody is t going towards veganism, and it's just healthier. I will say that there's definitely enough for you guys to eat, but it's always a little tricky because, late at night, that vegan restaurant might not be open. So what I did, I kind of connected with a couple chefs, where I would be at, and they can always go to the market and cook something up for a group dinner if you were to come. So there's always something for vegans to eat. My business partner, Kiana, she's vegan, and she eats, she loves all the food there.
Okay, that's interesting. That's good to know. All right, awesome. All right, so now we're gonna move into the next segment of the podcast. It's called Say What's On Your Mind. And this is kind of where people will send me questions or opinions, just whatever's on their mind.
Ooh, okay.
And I'll read it out loud. You can give your feedback on it, your thoughts on it. I'll give my feedback on it, my thoughts on it. And it is anonymous. So I'll just read it, but I will not reveal who the sender was.
Okay.
So this one says, how are others handling this new way of life, especially those who are already stretched pretty thin? So I'm guessing that this is in reference to
COVID.
I guess, in regards to COVID, but I think in terms of like the demographic or the people referenced is maybe like society as a whole. So how do you think society is handling this new way of life? And do you think people are stretched pretty thin, or just what have you been noticing about society during this whole pandemic? Especially, you know, with you being a nurse,
mm-hmm.
and you working at a hospital, just, I mean, a second question off of that too for you would be like, what is your experience with COVID? And what does that look like for you just in terms of your profession?
Okay, so I don't work in, the psych field of healthcare, so I don't get to see the medical side of it, but I have friends that do. And I think generally in the society, you got like maybe two or three different type of people. You have the people that want everything open. They don't want masks on, and they just want to go back to normal. They can't really take it. Then you have those who believe in wearing masks and staying safe and staying inside like a lot of the other countries are. And myself, right. I think I find myself in between. I kind of just building my immune system up and staying away from crowds. And it's a burden a little bit, you know, it's a whole different way of life. We have to retrain our minds. But for me, mm-hmm. this whole COVID situation has been kind of a blessing in disguise. I've been able to save a lot of money up. I've mm-hmm. never had it. Yeah. So I've been able to save a lot of money and kind of get this time to reflect on myself and spend some time alone.
Right. I'll say the same thing. I kind of feel that way too. With COVID, in terms of just, you know, how others are handling this new way of life, I, from my perspective, I see it that initially it was like a lot of pushback, like, oh my God, this is crazy. And, but mm-hmm. now I think people have come to, I don't want to say accept it, but have kind of come to work with it and are adjusting. And I feel like I'm in the middle too. Like, you're still cautious. Mm-hmm. You're not completely closed off from everyone. Like, you're not really secluding yourself
right.
To the max. But at the same time, you are cautious of like crowds and things of that nature. Like, I know for me, when I go grocery shopping or any errands that I have to do, I'll wake up at the crack of dawn to be the first one in the store just okay. so I can avoid the crowd later on. Mm-hmm. Or just things of that nature. Like, just the other day, last week, you know, I haven't been on public transportation since March, literally, and I had to go do fingerprints for work. And so I had to take the bus downtown Brooklyn, and it was early in the morning, like the very first appointment at like 8 a.m. or 8:30. And no, so good thing was the bus was not packed. I was not getting on the train. I could have took the train, but I said, I'm not doing that. That's too much right now. So right. I said, I'll do the bus. It's early. It'll be empty. And it was good. And it was fine. People were wearing their masks and all this kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. it was like maybe six folks on the bus. So it wasn't, you know, a big thing. But then clearly on the way back, it's a little bit later now. It was more people. And I was kind of like, oh my goodness, because then somebody was coughing on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Then the bus was getting crowded. And I was just like, yeah. Oh my God. And then, you know, a bum got on the bus. And it was just like, oh my goodness. So mm-hmm. then it was kind of like, where do you go? Because the bus is getting crowded, you know?
Right.
So I just, you know, I was like, of all days when I want to take the bus, this is what's happening. But, you know, and it kind of makes you think about just the risk every time you're doing something, even the simplest thing, the risk that you are possibly opening yourself up to. But yeah, overall, I do feel like people are stretched thin through this because, you know, some people are working from home, they have kids, they've done the virtual schooling with their kids, and So it's a lot of different areas of stress. And then also, too, you're merging your professional world with your home world, your personal world.
Exactly.
And so when you don't have like those lines to cut it off and move from environment to environment, it can become a little bit of a challenge or a juggling act. So yeah, that was
Yeah.
a good question.
And I think
But
like
yeah, for
other
the most
countries,
part, Go ahead, sorry.
I'm not sure. I kind of have a pulse on what other countries think about the US. I think that other countries are taking it a lot more serious than we are, and they're kind of like looking at us as the kids of the world, like we're not taking it serious enough, and that's why they're blocking us. That's why the borders are closing, and I think we have a lot of improvement to do. Yep.
I do that too. Sometimes I purposely go to international publications to read up on what we look like from a different perspective. So a lot of the times I'll read articles about us. I think one of them is called, if I'm not mistaken, BBC is one of them, BBC News. And then another one that I like to follow is Amnesty International. And Amnesty is specifically about human rights, and they touch on all aspects of human rights. But it is good to have perspective from a different point of view from outside of the US because, every media, wherever you are, is controlled by the government to some degree. And a lot of it here, definitely on purpose, is controlled. So it is good to see what are people seeing about us? What are they saying about us? Or what, just what do we look like from an outsider looking in? Do you have anything else you want to add about your volunteer company or anything like that?
I think we've touched on a lot of things. I can give you guys my Instagram. It's IASO Volunteers, VOLUNTOURS. That's my Instagram. You can find my personal page from there and my email right on that Instagram page right there.
And then right on that Instagram page too, is there a way if people wanted to order shea butter from you, is there a direct link to that for people?
Yeah, I have a different account for the shea butter and the black soap. It's called Drop Gems Botanicals, DropGems Botanicals. I'm gonna send you some more, okay?
And yeah, this is great. Thank you for being on the podcast. And this is very important, the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
Right now, you're planting the seeds, and I think it's amazing. Just the connections that you are opening up between here in the States and a direct link to Ghana and Africa, or possibly other countries. And I think you're touching on very important sectors that really are important to survival. So I do like the work that you're
I
doing.
appreciate that.
And yeah. So hopefully, I'm crossing fingers that I can just do the March 2021 and do my piece because I think that would just be an amazing experience.
Okay.
But thank you, Jordan. Thank you, Jordan, for being on the
All
episode.
right.
And you guys heard his social media. So go ahead and follow his IGs that he just said what they were. And keep an eye out, follow him, and keep an eye out for the tour that's upcoming for 2021. And if you're 18 or older, you can just go to the website as well and you can sign up and you can participate. So thank you, Jordan, for being on the episode.
Thank
Bye.
you. Have a good night.
Good
Bye.
night. Bye.